Hey, and welcome to Saturate with your host, gospel singer, and Bible teacher, Chris Norman. Saturate is a program where we study to show ourselves approved, not ashamed, and rightly dividing the word of truth. So grab your Bible and study along with us as we dig deeper in order to expose a lot of erroneous preconceived ideas about God's word. As we prepare to study, let's pray. Father, thank you for making your word available to us, and thanks for the Holy Spirit's anointing to discern what we read today. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, here's your host, Chris Norman.
Well, folks, it's so good to have you on the program again. Thank you for being here. Thank you for getting on social media or texting or calling somebody to join us today. I want you to get your Bible out and open it up to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to do a little study today about our thoughts, the battlefield of the mind. You know, Joyce Meyer's put out a great book. If you've never read the book, go get a copy of it. It's a great book, The Battlefield of the Mind. But there's a lot of other good speakers on it. And we're going to just hit it. You know how this is. It's 15 minutes today, so we're going to hit it fast and furiously. But if you'll get your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, we're going to get started there right after this song. This song is a song God gave me some years ago, and it was in response to trying to get somebody to help me do something, and couldn't get anybody to you know, they'll say, oh, just let me know if you need something, and you let them know, and they say, I can't. Well, honey, when the whole wide world says they can't, Jesus Christ is the mighty, mighty man who can. Well, yes, sir. Jesus is the mighty, mighty man who can. Hope you like that song. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Let's start there, okay? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I hope you underline that word of. Let's get this in context. This is Paul writing to the Corinthian church. This is what we have as the second epistle anyway. And he opens it up telling them, you know, he's been gentle with them and meek when he was in their presence and bold with them when he's writing to them in letters. And in other words, he's trying to address some problems As with a few other churches around, the Galatians and some other churches, he was having some issues with false doctrine that was going through, and he was addressing it and doing his very best to tell the Corinthians that, you know, our weapons are not these outward fleshly weapons that they were being tempted to use. That it was the battle of the mind, basically, is what he was saying to them, and that they were, the strongholds were taking place inside of their minds. A stronghold is nothing more than something that you give place to over and over again until it takes a strong hold of you. I've heard people say that if you have a problem with something and you continue to give into it, it just becomes easier and easier to continue to do. As you resist it and continue to resist it and continue, it becomes harder and harder and harder. It becomes less of a stronghold. And this is one of the things Paul's trying to tell them. And don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about your abilities. He said, mighty through God. Okay, so we in and of ourselves, I can't even talk today. In and of ourselves, we don't have the strength to fight the battle. But the weapons that God provides us are mighty. In other words, they're spiritual weapons that we use to bring down these strongholds, bring down these evil imaginations. These were things that were coming up against the gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul had preached to them. And he said, taking into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Now, that's what I want to talk to you about today. Let me do this little commercial and we'll come back and start right there. Hang on.
SaturateNow.com. If you'll go to that website, you can get information about Crossroads Gospel Singers, where we're going to be. You can even book our group if you'd like. You can also get radio content for this Saturate program. You can even download music as well. The site is under construction, so keep coming back to see what changes have been made. If you desire to make a tax-deductible donation to the ministry, SaturateNow.com is the place to go. Thanks for your generous support of the ministry. God bless you.
You know, so many years, folks, I was taught to believe that it was my duty as a Christian to bring everything to the obedience to Christ, in obedience to Christ, and that it was my job to be the obedient one and bring it to Christ. And that works good as long as everything's going good and you're not having a problem. But what happens when you do have a fall? What happens when you do make a mistake? And folks, trust me, you're going to make mistakes. Nobody's perfect. And God's not even going to allow you to be perfect. You know, you'd think, well, that'd really make God happy if I was perfect. But he already knows you're not. The Ten Commandments prove you're not. Nobody on the earth ever has been or ever will be. What we need is a Savior. We need someone that the Bible says fulfill the law, and that the law is now fulfilled in us through Christ. So he, being our sacrifice and being our stead, has kept the law for us and taken the offenses that were written on stone away from us. And now he's writing his law. And we've already talked about that in previous messages. You can go look them up. Anyway, we want to talk about this obedience. It's the obedience of Christ. Man, I have misread that for so many years that I thought for sure I was the one that was having to be obedient. And when I made a mistake, well, it just messed the whole thing up. And there I was like Adam and Eve in the garden. It goes way back and the whole thing is a mess. And you get to thinking, well, God expects me to be perfect. And since I'm not perfect, well, I need to go hide. And here comes God, and he's like, you know, where are you? And it's not like he's oblivious. It's a rhetorical question when he says those things. He's saying to you, do you see where you are? You're lost. You need to let me save you. And that's the part I kept missing all these years. We have a Savior. His name's Jesus Christ. And he came, and he was obedient. And so the battlefield in your mind is taking place. Now, let's talk about that battlefield in the mind for just a second. Satan has some horrible, ugly tactics. I want you to know right now, he does not play fair. He never has, and he never will. He's had thousands of years to practice this too, as well. He's very good at reading you. He knows when he interjects things in your mind, as soon as you start giving it away, what kind of an effect he's having on you. Let's talk about this. One of the tactics he uses that's cruel, is that he interjects thoughts. He has the ability to interject thoughts into your mind, or I should say inject thoughts into your mind. Now, he cannot read your mind. He does not know what you're doing with the thoughts unless you open up your mouth or give away a physical, you know, he can read your body language very well. And he knows when he's affecting you. And the way I used to combat this is when he'd start injecting things in my mind, I'd start rebuking him. I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you. Blah, 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 blah. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. That doesn't scare Satan a bit, you rebuking him. Jude even said, we don't bring a railing accusation against angelic beings or Satan. The Bible says the Lord rebuke you. So he's already been rebuked by Jesus. And you screaming and hollering in the face of the devil really doesn't have an effect on him to drive him away. In fact, what it really does is it gives him a heads up that whatever it was he just put in your brain is working. And he just keeps it up and he keeps it up and he keeps it up. Found out the best thing to do when these thoughts come to your mind is to just ignore him. Ignore him. And you think, but you say, well, how can I ignore my thoughts? My thoughts, my thoughts. Well, listen to this. I'm going to tell you something about your thoughts. Your thoughts are not you. What did he say? I said, you are not your thoughts. Your thoughts and you cannot be the same thing. And here's the reason why. The Bible says, take every thought captive. If you can take something, it's a fairly good physical rule. If I can take a glass of water, then I am not the glass of water. If I can take my thoughts, if I can take my thoughts and bring them to the obedience of Christ, then I am not my thoughts. There are some things that you're not. Satan wants to convince you are. Number one, you're not your body. And number two, you're not your thoughts. You are a spirit. Those thoughts that you're having in your mind, some of them of yours are yours. Some of them are being injected in there by the enemy, but they don't mean they are you unless you dwell on them to the point that you begin to act on them. So the thing is, well, we want this to happen pretty immediately. When we see, have you ever been just doing something right, reading the Bible, going to church, sitting in front of a really nice person, and all of a sudden you just start having these horrible thoughts? For some goofy reason, trust me, that's not you. You abhor that kind of stuff. I mean, you, the real you, doesn't agree with that. It just takes you, it kind of takes you aback, doesn't it? It startles you. And here's one of Satan's tactics that really works in a bad, bad way. And that is, he always uses the personal pronoun, I. He doesn't say you. He doesn't say you are a lustful person. He doesn't say you are unworthy. He always interjects thoughts into your head, and he uses the word I. He'll say, I, talking about you. So you think it's you talking, and you'll say, I am a bad person, or I am this, or I am that. Well, folks, let me tell you something. You're not your thoughts. And the Bible just told us an answer to this battle. That is you can take every one of these thoughts that comes in immediately and bring it to the obedience of Christ. I got just a few minutes left. How do you do that? Well, it's like this. Jesus Christ was obedient even unto the death of the cross. And he nailed our sins, every single one of them, to the cross. And he said, it is finished. It is a finished work, my friends. So anytime a thought that comes to your mind that you automatically know is not a holy, righteous, clean, pure thought, ignore it. Take my advice. Ignore it first, but center your focus, your attention upon Jesus Christ. See him immediately. And if you'll practice that all the time, then you'll have a whole lot less problem with these weird thoughts coming in, trying to convince you that's you. That's you. Well, folks, it's not you. Bring those thoughts unto the obedience of Christ, and you will see the victory in this battlefield for your mind. Oh, man, we're out of time. Once again, if you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, great. If you haven't, do it now and call somebody and let them know. We love you. Call this station and let them know how much you appreciate Saturate. We'll see you here again tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye-bye.